One of the great questions of the Gospels, I think, is why Jesus could not do any miracles at Nazareth, his hometown. That's related to us in the sixth chapter of Mark's Gospel. This is a profound point in his ministry, because up to then, we would surely think of Jesus as kind of like zapping people with a magic wand, and they would be well, and punching demons in the mouth, and out they go. It was as if there was some Nazareth kryptonite that robbed him of his power. But there we learned more about how God's power is manifested. It turns out that there also had to be faith and a desire to be healed. In Nazareth, they had neither, because to them, he was just the carpenter's son, not the divine master. It was exactly the same for Jesus' teaching. If someone did not have a certain openness of heart to hear the truth about the kingdom of God, no amount of beautiful words were going to make it happen. Socrates was the greatest of the Greek teacher philosophers. He declared, "I cannot teach you anything, but I can make you think." But in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said about teaching those who are hard of heart, "The reason I speak to them in parables is that hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand. If they did listen with their heart and turn, I would heal them." In today's gospel passage, Jesus invites his disciples to consider the relationship between a household master and the servants. Even if those servants have been out working in the fields or with the sheep, they don't get to come home and be served first by the master. And so there's an important lesson for us about how Jesus talks to his disciples and to us about how we should be in relationship with the God of the universe. So this is not a story about contemporary employee-employer relationships. It's a lesson, a way that Jesus teaches about recognizing the one from whom every blessing comes. Unlike the CEO of the company or the boss of the work unit, the master of all does not thank the servants. He does not need them like a boss needs an employee. He does not need anything. It is the servants who need to be thankful if they are to truly appreciate the gifts of the master's goodness. This is different from how the world works. We expect thanks for what we do and sometimes won't do anything unless we get that thanks. The lesson, if we have ears to hear it, is that Christians should not expect praise and honor for performing those duties that we are obligated to perform. Our efforts are not so that we can be thanked, but so that we will be content to serve in God's household. No one can fully repay God for his gifts. We can only receive them as servants of the one true God. Only in this way will God's power be able to be manifested. Edmund Hillary, you may recognize that name. He was the one who's credited with first climbing Mount Everest in May of 1953, accompanied by his servant and friend on the expedition, Tenzing Norgay. Hillary describes how disaster threatened when he slipped and fell and was left hanging by a rope over a huge crevasse. It required great skill, strength, and bravery for Norgay to rescue him. Hillary was describing this event in a talk, probably in many talks, but he didn't mention his gratitude to his friend. So someone from the audience asked him if he thanked his climbing partner for saving his life. Hillary's response, "Thank him for saving me? I'd have been damn mad if he didn't." Tomorrow, brothers and sisters, we will remember those who did not hold anything back, who risked everything. We will thank them on Remembrance Day. It sounds harsh in a way, but God will not be thanking them. However, he will offer them the reward of resurrected life, joined to Jesus Christ, who held nothing back for all of humanity, for those who would be grateful for so great a gift, but also even for those who would not. St. Leo the Great, whom we remember today, is a fourth century pope and doctor of the church. He understood the relationship. He said, "Do not dwell on your unworthiness, but remember Peter, who overflowed with graces, yet shared everything." So St. Leo the Great points to Peter, the first pope, who had to learn how to receive the grace that Jesus was offering, how to serve, and therefore how to serve the whole church. So Leo points to the model of the first pope, who learned to trust in the master and carry out his tasks without thanks. Paul's instructions to Titus in today's reading are a masterclass in how to teach the good news of Jesus Christ. Titus was a highly trusted associate of Paul, given the task of teaching the faithful on the island of Crete, the church there. Paul, an apostle, appointed Titus for this work, gave him his authority, his apostolic authority to preach. He didn't thank him for it. He commissioned him to do what he was asked. And what was that commission? Well, it began with his own life, which was to be consistent with his preaching so that he would not make the faith a cause for disgrace. Titus was to serve the master by teaching true doctrine, by teaching what is good, by teaching with seriousness and not to discredit God's word. He was also to teach everyone in the community how themselves to teach right Christian living to others. The obligation of older men and women, perhaps many of us here today, was especially to be good leaders, to model proper behavior, and to oblige the youth also to live properly. All are called to be leaders of virtue in the community, to teach what they and we have come to know as godly attributes, and to witness to those outside the church what Christian behavior looks like. Later in the passage there from Titus, the Greek word for epiphany is used. The Christian acts in a way to both reveal, which is what epiphany means, or manifest God in some way by godlike behavior, but also to prepare for the coming final epiphany of Christ in glory. The duty of all Christians as servants of God is to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, as Paul tells Titus. Today there is no greater lesson to learn than hearing Jesus say to each of us, "If you listen with your heart and turn, I would heal you." And to hear those final words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."